Yo, it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Blast deep into the night, and a two-run homer for Baez.
We're going to get a 13-yard gain here on fourth down. And right now, not looking good. Trubisky's going to run it, and he is going to get a first down. How about Trubisky to the 42-yard line? Oh, my goodness.
Bentley play action. So Jim Bentley chased. The Chef Smith.
Roquan Smith. He's the highlight show of this defense.
In the ring. Steamboat's got him up. A slam. McClaire hits by Crane. 1-2. He got it. He got it. Steamboat tied him up. McClaire has done it. McClaire has done it.
And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What's up and welcome in. You're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Glad that you're with me. Open phone lines 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. 24 hours from now, we will re-debut, if we can do that. We're going to bring back Tuesday Wrestling Tuesday. If you're a wrestling fan, after SmackDown Live that takes place on the USA Network, we will have sports entertainment / wrestling conversation. So if you're a wrestling fan and know of one, tell them to tune in after SmackDown is over at 9 o'clock. You can hear our coverage of what's going on in professional wrestling 9 o'clock every Tuesday after SmackDown Live right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. The Cubs are taking on the Los Angeles Dodgers in L.A. Dwayne Underwood Jr., with his Major League Baseball debut as a starter for the Chicago Cubs. And we now turn to Jesse Rogers, who covers the Cubs for ESPN.com and ABC 7 Eyewitness News. And Jesse joins me here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app live from Los Angeles. Jesse, tell me, it was a really rough series against Cincinnati. What happened this weekend?
Do we have an hour to go over everything that went wrong? I mean, a lot of things. The glaring one was the bullpen, though. Each time Joe went to a reliever, he just, you know, blew up on him. Rosario in one game with the grand slam. Then Dunsing also gave up a grand slam to a pitcher, no less. And then in the last game there, Pedro Strobe. So that was the glaring problem. But their offense wasn't great the first three games. Their defense came up a little short. One play in particular, Joey Votto would have been dead at home, but Addison Russell overthrew Wilson Contreras. That run scored, and the floodgates opened on Dunsing. Would have been a different game. So sometimes it's one play, and it snowballs on you, and it certainly snowballed on them all weekend long. So this happens a few times every year, right? You lose a series you're not supposed to. You get swept. It's how you rebound that's important. We'll see what happens starting tonight.
Based on how the Cubs have played offensively, the ebb and flow of the season, Jesse, you wouldn't consider the Cubs just a one man gang, meaning that with Brian out of the lineup that everything collapses. Is he such a key that everyone else is not playing well offensively?
It's a good question. I mean, he certainly helps matters because when you're getting on base and sort of clogging up the base paths, the hitters behind you are going to get better pitchers. And that's one of his specialties, is getting on singles, walks. You know, we haven't seen as much power, but you're not wrong. One player shouldn't derail a whole lineup. I mean, if it does, then you're not a championship type team. But this team offensively has kind of been up and down all year in a lot of ways. We know that they don't always score the runs from third when they should, and their power's been down. So I'd like to think it's not on Chris Bryant, but he certainly is missed. When you're already struggling and you don't have that guy on the base paths, you're going to be missed.
Did you think that Dunsing came in early in that game? Maybe Montgomery has at least one more batter. Maybe he gets out of it. How did you see that situation?
Yeah, well, wait, that was yesterday? That was, that you mean Strope? Strope came in.
Strope, yeah.
You know, it's a tough call. Okay, on one hand, you could have kept going with him. You could. I mean, it's 6-2. There's nobody out, first and third. There's a cushion, but he's clearly tiring. It was the first inning he'd given up three hits in a row, and, you know, he's clearly tiring. So the other option is if you bring in the reliever, he gets the cushion. And when you have a new pitcher enter the game, there's a good chance his command might not be on. He might need a batter or two. I like the idea of a large cushion for a guy like Pedro Strop. So, I mean, you can make a case either way. Even after the home run, it's 6-5. How many one-run games has Strope entered? Plenty. So right at that moment, should have been a reset for him. I don't have a problem with the move. I mean, he was clearly tiring. He's not John Lester. He's not a 100-pitch pitcher. He's more like an 80 to 90 guy right now as he continues to stretch out. But in hindsight, you know, maybe you could have let him kept going. But here's, I guess, the point. Who's likely to throw a home run pitch in that situation? A tiring Montgomery who could hang one at any moment because he's tiring, or a fresh Pedro Strop? And this is not a fresh B-minus reliever. This is an A-minus reliever. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, I mean, the home run off of Strop is much more surprising than a homer would have been off of Montgomery.
Jesse Rogers covers the Cubs for ESPN.com and ABC 7 Eyewitness News. He's with us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. See, I don't like how the media, Jesse, has been soft on this series because, you know, listen, yes, you will lose series. I just think that what we saw, not just with the relief pitching, but also just, you know, just game situations, whether it's trying to get a bunt down, you know, base running, all that. I just think that that all is alarming to me just in this one series. Now, it could be cleaned up in the Dodgers series, but we can't soft pedal this, especially a team that's supposed to win the National League.
Yeah, I think that, here's my opinion, if they had gotten off to a great start and they were, I don't know, I think I mentioned to Sylvan Waddle, if they were like 18 games over 500 and just have a clunker four-game sweep, oh, not so bad. That'll happen. When you're kind of trying to, you're not even in first place, you're trying to get there and you're trying to achieve a really good record, not just a decent record, but a really good one, and then you have one like this, I think you're right. You get a little less leeway. You get a little less benefit of the doubt. Not that being 9 over 500 is bad, two games out of first, but that's kind of my opinion. Does that make sense? I mean, they've only had one good run with this team, Memorial Day, you know, into June. And now they're you know, back to scrapping and clawing for whatever they can get. So, yeah, I think the criticism in the moment is deserved, but I don't think you can make any sort of predictive analysis based on those four games. That's the other side of the coin. You cannot tell me, oh, they're done. Anybody that says that just doesn't know baseball.
No.
But you can't sit there and say, well, this is no big deal. They're going to win the division by 10 games. Everything's a big deal when you're fighting for a division.
Jesse, what do you know about this kid that the Cubs are going to start today?
I know it's been a slow kind of rise from through the minor league series. Drafted in 2012, I don't think he was anywhere near ready, even as recent as late last year and maybe even early this year. I think he's taken some leaps and bounds. I saw him at the hotel today. Saw him in the stands before the game. He had his earbuds on. It looks like he's one of these guys that's just, you know, kind of getting focused, but. But in that, you don't want the moment to get too big. And one thing I heard about him in the last 24 hours is that's where he's improved, that he's not being rattled as much. And the numbers are good, other than the ERA, which is obviously the most important. He is 3-1 strikeout to walk, fastball, curveball, changeup, basically a three-pitch pitcher. You know, it's one of those deals that they get fives anywhere near solid out of him. I think it's a success. But I think the key is they believe he can handle a debut at Dodger Stadium where – a few months ago or last year, he could not. So let's see how that plays out. Keep that in mind.
Underwood Jr. is going to be wearing number 74. Doesn't look like he's going to be here very long.
Well, we'll see. Maybe he'll get a more permanent number. We'll see. I mean, it'll be interesting. He makes his debut here. Darvish is in Class A. Who's going to have the better start? You know, that's a joke. And I know Darvish he's already pitching, so hopefully it goes well for him. But, yeah, I mean, it's a huge moment for this kid. I mean, if he pitches well, he'll go back down. But he'll be in the back of the Cubs' minds, meaning as soon as they need another spot start, he'll get a chance. So this is the beginning of something because they don't have anybody ready. Nobody. So the first person that proves himself as that sixth or seventh guy is going to get that chance again and again and again. And so it is a big start in that respect. He won't stay in the rotation, but he might come back in the near future.
Jesse, the lineup the same or a little bit different for Madden against the Dodgers tonight?
I mean, it's similar in the sense that Chris Bryant is out, so Ian Happ will play third for the second consecutive day. He had a pretty good day defensively there yesterday and got on base a couple times. Most of your normal guys are in there with Almora catch in center. I mentioned catcher Chris Jimenez will catch Dwayne Underwood because he caught him a bunch of times down in the minors, so he knows him best. They texted and talked last night, and I think that'll be an easy transition since Jimenez spent a lot of time in the minors. But other than that, you have, your usual, candidates in there with Almora leading off.
Well, Jesse, this is supposed to be the soft part of the schedule, but then again, it's baseball. What is the soft part of anybody's schedule, as so many teams have underachieved here? So you got the Dodgers here for four, then you get right into the Minnesota series. So how do you see the Cubs, you know, bouncing back against this Dodgers team that's trying to find themselves after a lot of injuries?
It's really hard to know. It really is. I mean, I think they'll play better. I think the Dodgers and this crowd will bring out a little bit better in them. You know, if they could come up with some sort of split. I love any series when John Lester's pitching. Mm-hmm. He didn't pitch against the Reds, but he'll pitch with an extra day rest tomorrow. Hendricks in this park should do well. This is his hometown area. Pitchers love this mound. Jake Arrieta loved it through a no-hitter here. They love this ballpark. It's one of the better ones to play in defensively. So I think that they'll rebound a little bit at least. I don't know about tonight with Underwood, but you know, if they can get a split, I think it's a success. But you mentioned the schedule. One thing coming up, the Twins, you get them at home without the DH, then the Tigers at home without the DH, without Miguel Cabrera. I mean, the Cubs still have to play everybody in the AL Central except for the Cleveland Indians. So you got to rack. That's where you got to really rack up your wins, especially later on when you play the Royals after they sell whoever they're going to sell. You got to make hay. I mean, this is the year to play the AL Central, and the Cubs took two out of three from the White Sox. You know, they were okay against Cleveland. But obviously, that's the best team by far. So there should be some better days ahead, especially when the schedule breaks in terms of home games. At the end of this road trip, Jay Hood, the Cubs will have, I think, nine more road games played than home games. So there is an advantage there as you move towards the second half.
Jesse, you know, with this being wedding season, I'm sure there's some great gift ideas that you have for that groom or that bride that's really interested in the Cubs. Could you help somebody out?
Well, look, wedding season, bar mitzvah season, get it for your 13-year-old. It doesn't matter. Try Not to Suck is a guide to the world of Joe Maddon and his career before and during his Cubs career. So, go on, buy it. Try Not to Suck. It'll make a great, great summer gift for whatever occasion.
Will you sign the book?
I will sign the book. You have to email me, and I'll send it out to you, jrogersbook@gmail.com. I promise.
Boy, I'm so much better at this than you are. It's amazing.
You really are. Thank you again, Jay Hood.
Jesse, as always, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on.
All right. See you, pal. You got it.
Jesse Rogers with us here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Glad that you're with us here on Under the Hood, as Jesse will keep us abreast of what's going on with the Cubs and the Dodgers in Chavez Ravine. Speaking of baseball, you know, there was an article written by Bob Nightingale in the USA Today a couple days ago. Here's the piece. The piece is entitled, "There's No Ducking the Numbers. MLB Has a Bad Baseball Problem That's Only Getting Worse." For those of you listening to me for the first time, I'm 45 years old. And baseball, boxing, yeah, pretty much were the two sports that were on in my house when I was a kid, because it was prevalent in the 70s when baseball was the number one sport in this country. The NFL was there, sure. Hockey was there, sure. The NBA was there. But it's not like it is today in 2018. Baseball was the number one sport. You had to watch the game of the week on Saturdays. You had to watch Monday Night Baseball, even though it was even regional back then. But still, it meant a lot to be able to watch the key game of the week that you want to watch. Major League Baseball has changed in a big way, because I think under Rob Manfred, there's some things that have to change. You have to be able to make it more modern. It's not about Gen Xers like me. It's not about maybe baby boomers like you or Gen Xers like you or even Generation Y. What it is it's about the next generation of baseball fans. Can you make the game interesting for the next generation of baseball fans? It's a big question mark. So let me get to the Nightingale piece. I want to just illustrate for you what is going on in baseball and the reason why we don't spend a ton of time on baseball. Obviously, we talk about the Cubs because that team's going to contend, but we don't really dig into baseball like other shows. And the reason why is because I know that many of you are not interested in like the nuts and bolts of what's going on from the top to the bottom of every division in Major League Baseball. I don't do that on this show. I don't do that on the national show. I do it JD. We just don't do it because we know the majority of you don't want to hear this. But, and I think the reason why you don't is because of what's going on with baseball. Here is, and I've heard Nick talk about this too, also on Twitter. And we'll hear from Nick Friedell, by the way, at the bottom of the hour here on ESPN 1000. Baseball has an issue when it, especially this year, when it comes to strikeouts. Nightingale writes, "In an era when athletes are bigger, stronger, and faster, something has gone dreadfully wrong with our glorious pastime. players are striking out more than any time, an alarming 22.5% of all plate appearances. We are all on, I mean, look at this. We are on pace for more strikeouts than hits. 18,613 strikeouts compared to 18,136 hits entering Wednesday's non-action. That is a ton. 18,613 strikeouts. I mean, how brutal is this? It goes on to say that yet instead of these offensive woes dragging teams down like they're the 62 Mets, it's hardly a detriment. Like, for instance, the Arizona Diamondbacks have the lowest batting average of 227 in all of baseball, with 135 more strikeouts than hits, and they're in first place in the National League West. The Milwaukee Brewers have been shut out a major league leading 10 times and have a on-base percentage of 316. They've grounded out into more double plays than any team in the National League. They're in first place in the National League Central. The Cleveland Indians are the only team in their division, the American League Central, with a winning record, a division so putrid it's been outscored by a cumulative 230 runs. A staggering 41 position players who appeared in Tuesday night's games were batting 200 or below. That is brutal. And here's the thing about sports, especially baseball. There's always been bad teams, right? You can identify them. But you know that there's more likely to have as many like 100 win teams as much as there's 100 loss teams or close to it. That's not the competitive balance that you want. Baseball has always had this issue here, especially under Selig and now under Manfred, of trying to stay relevant. The NBA culture is lit. It's amazing how NBA, it's not just the games. It's just not the games. It's not the NBA package. It's not the playoffs. The free agency is hot. It's gotten to the point now where the NBA has the ability now to market the summer league like, hey, you know, the season's over, but here's a summer league, and people will be watching. The numbers will be high just for the summer league. There's going to be some guys that's going to be washing your car in a couple of months that's in the summer league, and some is going to get contracts overseas, but even that's compelling. The summer league is compelling, and again, not about winning a championship. It's not about that. It's just that it's basketball on TV, and people will be interested. Isn't that something? The free agency with the drama. It's not like the NFL's drama, right? The NFL with their free agency, 11:59. Julius Peppers, come on out. Will you sign this contract? Yeah, coach. That's the drama in the NFL. In the NBA, it's drama. Where's LeBron going? Where's Boogie Cousins going? Kawhi wants to be traded. Kyrie Irving's not necessarily fully committed to the Boston Celtics. Paul George. Is Paul George, he wants to stay in Oklahoma City? Question mark? Question mark? Question mark? That's the NBA drama, where it's not just the season. It's not just the playoffs. It's just not the finals. Now it's extended all the way throughout, where NBA writers don't have any time off anymore. And actually, what used to be the hot stove league for baseball, right? Let me get down here to Arizona, the meetings. What are they talking about? Not relevant like it is with the NBA offseason. It just isn't. Back in the day, when you want to know where your favorite team, what your favorite team is going to do in free agency in baseball, now it's kind of like, okay, what's the thing? And here's the thing. What's the hottest thing in baseball right now? Right. The one question mark, and if I was going to manufacture it, is will we ever see a $400 million player? If that's supposed to be Bryce Harper, why is he hitting 213? And that's baseball. The hottest name in baseball, the man in baseball who's breaking all kind of records throughout the history of the game is Mike Trout. Mike Trout plays in Orange County. Nobody cares. He doesn't even resonate in Los Angeles. I will tell you a story. I don't think I've ever told this on the air. I know I told this off the air plenty of times.
Oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall.
Now it's official. So I worked with Marcellus Wiley. And by the way, Felix, let's get Marcellus Wiley on quickly before, you know. Let's get Marcellus Wiley on because I don't know, his time might be short. So I want to get him on and talk about, get him on Summer of Football, please. Anyway, so I work with Marcellus Wiley at ESPN Los Angeles, right? Did afternoon drive. Eric, you might have heard me tell this story before. So I remember like was it two summers ago? Do you guys remember? Like two summers ago,
Two summers ago, yep.
So two summers ago, the program director says, can you fill in and do some shows at ESPN LA, Afternoon Drive? Hells yeah.
No, I don't want to go to South Beach. No,
Los Angeles.
Yep.
So I go out there, and this is when Max Kellerman made his move from L.A. to do First Take now. So I filled in for Max Kellerman, did some shows. So this is during the baseball trade deadline, right, where the hot name was Rich Hill. Where's Rich Hill going to go? Right?
No. Right? Yeah, okay.
So Rich Hill goes to the Dodgers, of course, right? So that's news. So we go through the meeting, and I say, well, so, you know, Rich Hill is – we're going to be a Dodger here. That should be able to bolster the team. And they're like, yeah, that's good for maybe half a segment at ESPN LA. I'm like, okay. So if the trade deadline's not hot, then what do you want to talk about? And it's just like, well, you know, the Rams, you know, got to kind of teach this area football. This is when the Rams came back to Los Angeles, right? Let's talk football. You know football, right? Like, yeah, I know football. He goes, yeah, the producer says, you should probably talk some Rams. Try to get the fans interested in football. Like, okay. I said, I understand that you are the home of the Angels, too, here at ESPN LA. He cuts me off. He goes, don't talk about the effing Angels.
Jeez, look at that. Oh, man.
I said, wait a minute. I said, wait, isn't Mike Trout on the Angels? He goes, don't talk about the effing Angels. He meets me for the first time. He goes, whatever you do, don't talk about them.
Wow. That's crazy. You know, that comes from above him, too. Like, there's no reason. Like, it's a waste of our time.
Talk about
the best player maybe to ever play.
They didn't want me to talk the Angels, but they're definitely happy with my Lakers talk in August.
that hot Lakers talk.
But you know what? That got phone lines.
I'm sure it did. Think about all the people in traffic out there. I'm sure those phones are always going.
I mean, don't talk about the Angels. Yeah, half segment on the Dodgers. But, yeah, get some Lakers thoughts? Yeah, it's August, though. Yeah, it's cool. But that's how it was, man. So I told you that story just to accentuate the point that Mike Trout is supposed to be the best player in the big leagues, and yet no conversation and doesn't resonate there. Pedro Gomez was on with JD and I talking about baseball. Pedro Gomez loves baseball, loves the sport. And said this to us.
The game is not nearly as exciting as it should be. I mean, and you know, I'm a huge baseball fan. I mean, that's my number one sport. And there are times now that it's unwatchable almost because everything is either a strikeout, a walk, or a home run. You're not seeing action really in a lot of games. And that I think can be a turnoff to a U.S. sports fan. It's one of the reasons probably that soccer has never really taken off in this country. I know that there are people that love soccer. Don't get me wrong. And I do too. But when you take it as a whole for the country, it's that lack of scoring. You know, the American sports fan doesn't dig a 1-1 tie or a 2-1 game. And in baseball right now, there's just such a lack of action in the sport, whether it be the shift that's killing, you know, line drives into the gap and things like that, or just the fact that the launch angle has led to so many strikeouts. I've been a lifetime fan and I've never seen the game at such a low point.
Pedro Gomez, who's covered the sport for 40 years, says that. Think about it. So it's now one of these topics where baseball's dying, baseball's bad, baseball's still relevant, there's no doubt. But it's not broken, but it could be better. That's the thing. How do you modernize it? Pedro Gomez told the truth. Home runs or strikeouts, people swinging from their asses every game you watch. Baseball is supposed to be about strategy. You don't even see strategy as often as you'd like. Certainly didn't see it in that Cubs-Red series. The home run is the three-point shot of Major League Baseball. Swing as hard as you can, home run, get the crowd going, get the team going, but there's no strategy like it used to be. And there's an issue with that, there's no doubt. We've got another four-pack of tickets to give away for Sunday's race at the Chicagoland Speedway. If you want to go, stay by listening to advice how you can win this half hour. Nick Friedell is next.
From your hood to J-hood. By yourself, then propel. The mic is contacted, I attract clientele. On ESPN 1000... ESPN app.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
You're listening to ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. It's the Cubs and the Dodgers at Chavez Ravine. Here's Jesse Rogers with a report. Jess?
All right, Jay Hood, we're in the bottom of the first inning. No score between the Cubs and Dodgers. Dwayne Underwood Jr. making his Major League debut, having a long first inning. He's up near 35 pitches, but neither team has scored. Dodgers have not crossed the plate. First and second, two outs. He's just getting balls over the plate. They're getting fouled off left and right. He gave him a walk and a single. Now, he's not pitching poorly, but getting a lot of foul balls, which is getting that pitch count up. So 35 pitches for Dwayne Underwood Jr. so far. No score. Bottom one. Cubs went down in order against Kenta Maeda in the top of the inning. Back to you.
All right, Jesse. Thank you. You're listening to ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. In studio with me is Nick Friedel, who covers the NBA for ESPN.com. Nick and I will be together along with Bobby Marks for a special free agency show from 3 to 6 p.m. Chicago time Sunday on ESPN 1000, also all over the country on the ESPN app. And Nick joins me. Hello, my friend.
My friend, how you doing?
I'm doing really great. Still hungover from the draft show.
It was a party.
It really was. Definitely for Gar and Pax.
Oh, yes.
It was definitely a party for them.
Oh, yes.
So the rookies were introduced today. Boy, you know, when it comes to rookies and when it comes to seniors and freshmen, you know which one's which. I mean,
oh yeah.
So Hutchinson was just tremendous. What can you bring to the Bulls? And Hutchinson says,
versatility. I think I don't do just one thing where you can just plug me into that spot and know that I'm going to be great at that one thing. I think I have a lot of different weapons and I'm useful in a lot of different situations. And I see that as being really valuable in the NBA, especially now, being able to play in different positions, handle the ball, rebound, defend as well, you know, with my size and also playmake.
Hutchinson, the senior. Here's Carter, the freshman from Duke.
I'm a very hard worker. I'm a winner also. I come in and do whatever I have to do to help the team win. So I think that'll be an immediate impact.
And that'll be all for Wendell Carter Jr.
And then he told us that he's been a winner since he was younger, and he referenced how he used to win in Monopoly. That was the first time in 9 years I had heard that one, the Monopoly reference.
That's pretty funny.
Hoodie, and being there, Hutchinson, he reminds you of, like, the class president.
Yes.
He's running for college class president.
Yes.
He has all the look and feel of the guy who's got it all under control. And if you can come in and knock three-pointers down, you're going to make a lot of fans in this city. Mm-hmm. But he came across very well. I mean, Carter came across like a 19-year-old kid.
Yes.
And, you know, fine. Just play and produce on the floor. I sat there, and I think over time I've gotten a little jaded to listening to all these press conferences. It's not just Gar and Pax and Fred and whatever they say. It's all these kids who come up and say, I do this well, I do that well. Great. Prove it. Prove it. Go out on the floor now and do it. And if they do, they're really going to get a chance to be stars here because there aren't a lot of sure things on this roster at the moment.
No, it's not. And I know that we raised the eyebrow and actually made the eyes open of John Paxson at the draft show when I said, it looks like your roster is probably built for the playoffs. And again, I was talking about that in the prism of a post-LeBron Eastern Conference, you know, with him going to the West or someplace else, that, you know, like, if LeBron's not with the Cavs or if he's not with the Eastern Conference team, that will just move up several teams to be able to be in that top eight. And Pax didn't like that. But it's kind of true. Like, this roster, even if it's not impressive to you, Nick, or anybody else, look at the proud veterans on that team. If you're Dunn and Levine, or if you're if you are Lopez, you know, if you are Holiday, you're a proud veteran. You want to be able to get the next contract, the next check that comes with this. So to me, even with the young stars they have on this team, those veterans are going to try to push this team uphill if they can.
There's no doubt. And that's why Hoodie, you and I watched so much bad Eastern Conference basketball last season. If this Bulls team with the young talent that they do have can come together early and start playing well, I do not think it is out of the question that they're right in that playoff hunt at 7 or 8 in the East. They're going to be in the discussion if they stay healthy. If LaVine comes back and he's motivated to show that either A, he got the contract he wanted, or B, he's working on getting the contract he wants going into next summer. If Markkanen takes another step, this team has some talent. And we're forgetting another key ingredient to the argument, which is Fred Hoiberg badly wants to prove to people like me, to me, and the people who have doubted him in the last few years here, that he can coach. And I think within the building, within the Advocate Center, there are still people, and they're like, all right, is Fred the guy? Do we really believe that he's the guy we want leading this team into the future? Fred is working on the fourth of a 5-year deal. It is time for him to get this group to play a little bit better. And are the expectations going to be fair for a playoff berth? Probably not, given that they're in year two of the rebuild. But the talent is there. They're going to have motivated guys. And when you have that, there is going to be a lot of opportunity for guys to show up and to really build some wins.
Nick Friedell in studio with me, Jonathan Hood on Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Nick, the NBA awards were given out today. See that Rudy Gobert was named Defensive Player of the Year, the Stifle Tower. Then Ben Simmons was the Rookie of the Year. That has been established. And ex-Raptors coach Dwayne Casey, current Detroit Pistons coach, named Coach of the Year over Brad Stevens and Quinn Snyder. Some thoughts now from Dwayne Casey, the now Detroit Pistons coach, with his speech for being Coach of the Year.
I'm going to say this. You know, when you get fired, which I did recently, I don't know if you knew that or not, after winning Coach of the Year, you know, you always doubt yourself a little bit. You think, okay, can I do this? Do I want to do this again? And then I interviewed with Tom Gores, the owner of the Detroit Pistons, who he and I connected. And he's given me an opportunity that I'm very appreciative of for someone to believe in you. And that's all you want as a player and also as a coach, an owner who believes in you and trusts you with his franchise. And I appreciate.
Oh, boy. Zippo. There you go. The shot at the Raptors.
That was unmistakable.
Hmm?
Throwing a little shade there. And I know you and I both like Dwayne Casey a lot. He did a really, really nice job with that team this season in Toronto. They just couldn't get past LeBron. They aren't alone in that, exactly, in the Eastern Conference. But, yeah, very clearly wasn't too happy with standing up there getting an award for a team that he doesn't work for anymore.
No, it's kind of odd, right? So Dwayne Casey gets Coach of the Year. So congratulations to Coach Casey. Six-man award winner was Lou Williams of the Clippers.
It's his award.
It is his award. It should be the Lou Williams Award, right?
You're going to rename that thing over time, huh?
Stifle Tower, we mentioned. Most improved player, Victor Oladipo of the Indiana Pacers. Boy, I tell you remember when that deal took place, Nick. The deal takes place where Paul George goes to Oklahoma City, and in return, it's young Sabonis and Victor Oladipo. And Pacers fans are like, that's it? That's all we got? That's it? That's all we got? And then Oladipo leads the Pacers to the playoffs. Impressive.
It's impressive on a lot of levels, Hoodie. I also think back to you and I sitting there on draft night last year, the Bulls fans just destroying Garn Pax for dealing Jimmy for what they got. Both of those teams ended up looking pretty good through the prism of time.
Right.
And the Pacers with Oladipo now as a focal point moving forward, good for them. Good for Oladipo for putting in the work that got him to that level. And on top of, okay, well, what's Oklahoma City thinking? I go back to a team that's near and dear to my heart, and the Orlando Magic.
Mm-hmm.
They had Victor Oladipo there for several years. They couldn't get this out of him, and now all of a sudden they're sitting there again trying to figure out what they're going to do, and this team is, the Pacers are one of those teams. If they get another piece or two, they're going to be right there in the conversation in the East.
Speaking of another piece or two, I have my free agent pack it out right now, right, for the Bulls. And I know that maybe free agency is not necessarily on the minds of all Bulls fans because the core, whatever you consider the core, is right there for you.
Right.
But I still believe that additions are needed. So I went to the back of the packet. I didn't even go to the front. The front says LeBron and Kevin Durant, which is already established, and Chris Paul and Boogie,
got
right?
Dust back there, right? In the back of the packet.
So I went to the back of the bag. I went back here to numbers. Well, I see Doug McDermott, 68. That's not going to happen.
There's not a reunion in the Hall of Fame here.
Brandon Wright is an unrestricted free agent.
Nah.
So Seth Curry.
Seth Curry is ranked ahead of Dougie McBucket's hoodie.
Yes, on this list here.
I mean, look, every team makes bad errors in judgment.
Joe Johnson will want too much money.
That Doug McDermott deal was just horrendous for the Bulls.
Jeff Green's too old.
Yeah, that ain't gonna happen.
Did give you a nice spark though in the playoffs? The one game, right?
I don't. If he did, I don't even remember the one game anymore.
Oh, come on, the spark that Jeff Green read. Come on.
Oh, Jeff Green. Oh, I thought you you were still with me on McDermott.
No, not McDermott. No.
I was like, what? He had 31 night in Memphis.
I moved on
in like
from that.
January.
No. I think do we have this right? I believe I just saw this. Did the Pacers move on from Lance Stephenson?
That is correct.
Yeah, okay. They didn't pick up his option.
So they didn't pick up his option. So no more Lance Stephenson.
No, Lance Stephenson, no.
Not with the Bulls?
Ain't going to work here, I don't think.
Joe Harris?
Nope.
Tony Parker?
No. I'm sensing a lot of no's here.
Corey Joseph has a player option. You need some shooting here.
Absolutely.
You need some outside shooting.
Yeah, they don't have that right now.
Okay, so I'm looking for somebody here.
Unless, hey, are you a believer that Hutch is going to be that guy? Hoodie.
Well, no.
That he's going to start shooting right away?
No. Number one at the press conference and number 12 on your roster.
Yeah. Hey, once he came back, they were like, hey, can we run this kid out there for all the press availabilities all year? He's going to be new age Robin Lopez who actually wants to talk.
Clubhouse lawyer is a rookie. I mean, he wind him up. And he's like, my God, it's Black Joe Madden. It's just unbelievable.
You're listening to Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
They say this is a big rich town.
All right, we have got a 4-pack of tickets to give away to Sunday's race at the Chicagoland Speedway. Eric, let's do caller number 2, regular line, 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our telephone number. Caller 2 for the Chicagoland Speedway. We thank you for listening. Be part of the program here on ESPN 1000. Our thanks to Dan Jiggets, Jesse Rogers, and Nick Friedel. And show produced by Eric and Felix on the other side of the glass. We're back tomorrow between 7 and 10. Guess who's in studio with us, Nick? Malika Andrews from the Chicago Tribune is with us. She's in studio with us. This is awesome. Get that right there.
Hey.
Malika Andrews is in studio with the Chicago Tribune. You're going to be covering the Bulls, huh?
That is correct.
I want people to know who you are.
And then I follow you on Twitter.
Yes, we let people know. And then you follow. Yes, that's important. That's important.
That has been established.
Yes, that's been established. So you know what Nick and I do after games, right?
Oh, boy. I have a feeling I'm about to find out.
Okay, so because you're going to be covering the Bulls, heavy drinking.
I'm shocked. Shocked.
So a lot of restaurants.
Kind of J.R. Smith style? Yeah,
pretty close. Pretty close. So make sure that whatever your deadline is, do that whenever you got to, do that at the bar. Bring your laptop to the bar.
Drink first, deadline later.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes. It's a long season. Many long seasons. I can't wait to read your coverage.
On this team, that's what I've heard.
So it's going to be something. Back tomorrow at 7 to 10. Poor Malika.
I'm not internationally known, but I'm known to rock the microphone.
Yo, J. Hood. Talk that barbershop talk, dude.